Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. I don't know where he's going, but I'll listen. And I think he's going somewhere, but I couldn't tell. I'm going to stop right where I am. This has been an amazing evening. I've sat there listening to the music. Beautiful. All of it. Every bit of it. And well chosen and presented. And a great, great church. God bless your hearts. And I can see why you're here tonight. And why you love this church and your pastor. And all of his work. I can understand it. And anyone who would come here would be impressed. Just listening to the songs and the announcements and all parts of the service. It's a beautiful, beautiful hour. Thank God for your church, for your school, for everything you're doing. Keep on going. Keep on going. I remember first things quite a bit. And I'm sure Brother Clarence does too. The first time I saw him, I think that was coming down Union Avenue, somewhere around Union Avenue, right? Union Avenue, dressed in a loud great suit, and it would talk back to you, and it was beautiful, beautiful. And I walked up to me, dignified, and began talking about what he was doing and the type of work he was doing. And that was the beginning of our friendship. That's some years ago, and I can see the great things that have taken place in all of these years in this church, in this school, and what you're doing here, great, wonderful, every bit of it. Open your Bibles now to Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4. I was speaking tonight on the simple subject, son, you're not listening. Son, you're not listening. I'm not going to read it all, but in verse 1, and he began to teach by the seaside. They had given him a great multitude, and he entered into a ship and set in the sea, and the whole multitude by the sea on the land. I come down to verse 3. Hark, and behold, there went forth a sword to sow. Anyone gave a parable. And verse 9. Is none of them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Underscore that in your Bible, that one verse. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Many times I heard my father say to me, son, you're not listening. I was a high school boy back in Louisville, Kentucky. And my dad gave me instruction about what to do, how to conduct myself, and what to do on that day, what kind of work. And sometimes he'd look at me, he said, son, you're not listening. He was right. My mind was off somewhere. Way off, about somewhere else. Think about something else, personal, something I wanted to do. I'd forgotten all about what he was talking about. And he kept on saying, son, you're not listening, you're not listening. I sat before him, and I thought of that. And I thought of people in churches that sometimes they sit here like you're here tonight, and you don't listen. Your minds are off somewhere. They're way off in the business world, the pleasure world, the social world, and the outside. You're far, far away from it. You need to come in and say, Lord, I want you to speak to me, and I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear the word of God. I want to obey the word of God. I want to be something for the glory of God. Now, God speaks by his word. And we listen to the word of God and be listening to the word of God always. Again, he speaks to called messengers, pastors and evangelists and Bible teachers. He speaks to them. And he speaks sometime through happenings, maybe an accident, maybe a sickness, maybe a tragedy of some kind. And he speaks to your heart. Now, but we often are not listening. We're poor listeners. You got to train yourself to listen. And let God speak. Our minds are filled with our own selfish thoughts. We sit in church and our minds are way off somewhere. We're thinking about business tomorrow, pleasure tomorrow, what a trip we're going to take, and this, that, and the other. And we get away from it. And God is speaking to us. He said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Listen to the word. Listen to the word. Let God speak to your heart. Let God speak to the songs, all of it, by the word of God especially. Number one, he speaks on salvation. He speaks on salvation. John 1:12, but as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You know the words. And Ephesians 2:89, for by grace he is saved through faith, and that it's the gift of God, not worse, lest any man should avoid. He speaks on salvation. Salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Many people miss that. They miss that. And they join churches. They get baptized. They do works. They give money. They try it all. But my dear friend, there's only one way to be saved. That's faith in Christ. Amen. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that is a gift of God. In other words, that's in the mention of the Lord. Now, he speaks on salvation, but men do not hear. They do not listen to the word of God. You're here tonight in a great, wonderful church. And listen. Listen to God's word. And let God speak to you. Some people be, well, if I get baptized, I'm saved. No. Someday, well, if I do good works, no. Church membership, no. None of these things. All of it is in Christ. He is the Savior. He is the one and only Savior. And He speaks on the matter of salvation. That's clear and positive and plain. And the Son of God spoke and gave His word on how you're saved. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's for all of us. Now, examine your own heart. Have you listened to the word of God? Or have you listened to your family, your mother, your father, your sister, brother, neighbor, friend? Have you failed to hear the word of God? Jesus said, I am the Savior. Are you trusting in Him? Not in self, not in works, not in church membership, not in baptism, but are you trusting wholly and completely in Him? Examine your heart. He speaks on salvation. Secondly, He speaks on effective living, how we should live. Are you listening? Here, listen to this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable servant. Romans 12 and verse 1. He speaks on effective living, how we should live for Christ daily. We're to give ourselves absolutely unto Him. That means separation from the world. That means living apart from the world. For St. Corinthians 6, 17, 18. Wherefore come out from among men, be as separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father in you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And we must be separated from the world. He speaks on separation. A whole lot depends on your separation from the world. The fullness of the Holy Spirit depends on that. You can't be filled with the Spirit of God and filled with the world at the same time. You've got to be separated from the world and apart from that. And the power of your life in winning souls and effective living depends on your separation from the world. And you say, Lord, I want to so live that Christ will be seen in me. Paul said, Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. And that's how you're to live and I'm to live. He speaks on effective living. Follow Him, obey Him, and live effectively for the glory of God. Number three, He speaks on having a peaceful heart. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God speaks on having a peaceful heart, and yet many people are troubled. The world's full of people with their troubled hearts, not resting in God, resting in their promises. He said, my peace I give unto you, and that's for you and for me. That's for me today, for you to take. And you speak, and I'm to listen to Him and say, Lord, I want your peace in my own heart. I want the true peace that comes from God. Now, receive Christ as Savior, walk in His steps, obey His command, and enjoy His peace. And that peace will be yours day by day. Now, we're living in a nervous, troubled world. Trouble everywhere. Washington, D.C., New York City, Chicago, anywhere you go the same way. Atlanta, Knoxville, Chattanooga, trouble everywhere. But when we come and obey His command, there will come peace to our hearts. And we can know that. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give unto you, but as Jesus gives it to you, that peace. Now, money can't give it to you. Position cannot do it. Popularity cannot do it. Education doesn't do it. It must come wholly and completely through your faith in Christ. And that's it. Now, He's speaking to you tonight, speaking to me tonight. And wants me to have that peace of God, which is in His own hand to give. And I will receive that from Him. My peace I give unto you, He says to me and to you tonight. And take that peace and rejoice in it and praise God. Now He's speaking to it. Again, He speaks on the matter of prayer. Supplication. Hear Him. Here's what He said. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Watch it now. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. Now there's a promise of God, John 14, 13, 14. Now you doubt His words? You question His veracity? Are you getting answered to your prayers? Do you believe God? He speaks on prayer and supplication. Believe the word of God. That's what keeps you from getting answered, because you doubt. You doubt His word. You doubt His promises. And you wonder about it all. But you put yourself in His hands and say, Lord, I want the peace of God in my heart. I want to believe your promise. I want the peace of, I want joy in my heart day by day, knowing His presence with me in every trial. I know that He'll guide my life, and I want that peace in my own heart. I had a friend some years ago that I wondered about so much. His name is Ernest Reveal. I think your pastor remembered my mentioning quite a bit in years going by. Ernest Reveal was the head of the Evansville Rescue Mission. And that mission was doing a big, big work in that city. I preached there maybe 15, 20 times. And this man, Reveal, I got to know him. Crippled man, could not walk alone.
He could barely sit in a chair with any ease, in an easy resting position. His body was deformed, was twisted in many, many ways. But that man, Ernest Reveille, had power. And I watched him, and I carefully noticed what he was doing. And I noticed his prayer life and his Bible reading life. And Ernest Reveille was an example to anyone. I learned so much from him. Just trusting a man and looking at what he was doing and knowing how God answered his prayers. Wait a minute. He would day by day listen to the voice of God and receiving peace for his heart from the very word of God and from the work of God. And that's what God wants you to have in your life. I knew Lester Roloff so very, very well. Your pastor did also. Lester Roloff, that unique man out of Texas. Man of faith in God, plain speaking. And did a marvelous work for God over many, many years. Lester, I watched him. But there was something about him that was simple and beautiful. His simple resting upon the word of God, the promises of God. Not upon man, not upon things, but upon the word of God. And that's for you and me. And the peace of God can be yours. My peace I give unto you. In a few days, I'll be 91. I'm resting upon that right now. For peace of heart. I want peace of heart. I've had it through the years. I know what it is. And I want it now in my last days before the coming of my Lord or before my death. I want the peace of God. And you say, this is what I want also. Now, Christ said, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive them. And you rest upon God and say, I know that you'll answer my prayer. And I'm asking for the peace of God in my heart. And let him speak to your heart. And let God deal with your heart day by day, moment by moment. He speaks. Again, he speaks on witnessing. Listen to this. But ye shall receive power. And that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now that's for all of us. That's for you. That's for me. And he speaks, and I'm to listen to him. Not to the world outside, but I'm to listen to him. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm to obey. He speaks, and I must obey. I must wake up and listen and say, this is it. And you're to be a witness for Christ. Thank God to be a pastor. Thank God for his concern for souls. Thank God for the invitation that he gives you week after week, and people come and get saved. That's the way it ought to be. I go to dead churches now where they've gone 6 and 12 months without having a single soul, without having a baptism in all of that time. And I preach to them, and many times God answered by giving great service. Many are saved, but they say we haven't seen that for a long, long time. They've gotten away from it. Now, he speaks on witnessing. You obey and go into all the world and give the gospel and preach the message of Jesus Christ and rejoice in all of it. I looked up the other day. I baptized in Highland Park during my 40 years there. A few over 63,000 people. That's a lot of people in it. I saw that many come to Christ and follow the Lord in believers' baptism in those 40 years, over 63,000 of them. But wait, they were simply obeying the word of God, hearing the message of Christ, and coming to Christ as Savior and obeying him in baptism. Now that's for you and me. We must obey him. Obey the Lord and say, Lord, I want to do your will. I want to be in the center of the holy will of God. Amen. The great thing for your life. Had a man get saved in Highland Park years ago. Name of M.J. Parker. Your pastor knew him. M.J. Parker. And he got saved. And when he got saved, his heart was on fire. He had a nice appearance. He dressed nicely. But he had no education at all. Matter of fact, never finished a third grade in school. But he asked me to, if I'd mind if he got a bus. We got one bus for him. And he began running that bus, and every Sunday, 5, 10, 15 people coming forward, accepting Christ on that one bus. And then we bought another, and I put him in charge of all. We bought 35 brand new buses one time, put him in his charge. And this man did the job, M.J. Parker. And right down to the end of his life, he was witnessing, bringing people down the aisle, walking down the aisle. Pastor, you recall him?
Yes, sir.
Beautifully dressed, always. Dressed like a gentleman, always conducting himself like one, constantly, never changed. And went on through a whole long life, giving everything he had to God. I saw him saved. I baptized him, baptized his wife. And I saw the whole thing. And then he passed away. And now they asked me to have the funeral, and I've had it. Went out to Greenwood Cemetery and finished up the graveside service. And I started to walk away, and this partner stopped me. She said, "Brother Robertson," she said, "I don't think you knew this," that he wouldn't tell anybody. He rather ashamed of the whole fact, that he said, I think you ought to know it. And I wonder what you're going to say. She said, "MJ never finished the third grade in school. She said he could barely read and write. You would never have guessed about looking at it, would you? You'd never think it. And could barely read and write. But she said, when he got saved, he said, this is something I can do. I can tell people about Christ." And he did. For a number of years, that man with no education whatsoever was out bringing people in by buses, by car, every way he could bring them to Christ, walking down the aisle with 10 or 15 every Sunday. I had the joy of seeing him come, and I baptized converts every Sunday. M.J. Parker, a man with idea, but a man with dedication of life. Now, that's the thing you must see. And you must say, "Oh, God, I want your will to be done." Listen to what he's saying. He's saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He's saying, have a heart for your neighbor, your friends around you, and point them to the Lamb of God. And just keep it up and say, "Lord, this is my business to tell people about Christ. I want souls to be saved. I want the will of God to be done in my life. God, use me, use me, use me. You men, you women, you fine young people, all of you. Let God use your life. And reach out to this great city and this great area that they might know Jesus as personal Savior." It was a sad, sad day for my wife and me when our little baby Joy died. We could not understand it. I still don't understand it all. But she died, beautiful little child, and just a few months old. We were living on Bailey Avenue, and she was gone. We buried the little one at Greenwood Cemetery. Our hearts were broken. But out of the death of that little one, God led me to something. He led me to establish Camp Joy for children. The baby's name was Joy. I named it Camp Joy. I said, "Dear Lord, I want to see people saved, children saved, boys and girls saved. I want you to use that." And I waited and had the impression of the heart. And one day I found they were selling 65 acres of land at Lake Chickamauga. And going to be at the courthouse, a big open sale for everyone, auction sale. Beautiful land overlooking the lake. And I said, "That's just what I want for Camp Joy, for children. I can see many of them getting saved at a place like that, if I had that place." I went to the sale, big crowd of people there, filled up the courthouse. Auctioneer got up on his stand. Now he said, "We'll begin." He said, "This 65 acres overlooking Lake Chickamauga. Most beautiful part of the country. You can build your summer homes up there. You can have mansions up on the mountaintop." He told the whole story. And every time he talked, I thought he was getting beyond me all the way. And finally, he slowed down. He said, "What am I bid?" And with a great crowd of people there at the courthouse and that beautiful land for a sale, I stood up and said, "Sir, I bid $3,000. He laughed. He laughed. He said, "That's fine, sir. Thank you, thank you. Sit down." And I sat down and I thought, well, I made my bid, $3,000 for 65 acres of land on Lake Chickamauga. And I sat down. You know what happened? Not a soul bid against me. Not one voice was lifted. He tried, he begged, he did everything. He said, "I want other bids. We have only one bid on the property, $3,000. He said, "Who will bid the next?" And he tried to get, he didn't get the thing. He finally said, You got the property." And when it was over, I walked up to him and said, "Sir, I appreciate your kindness and letting me bid on this and everything, and I'm going to pay for it." But I said, "I don't have any money now." And I thought he was going to take it away from me and sell it to somebody else. But he said, "No." He said, "When can you get it?" I said, "Oh, give me a few days and I'll have it paid off. I'll bring it on and pay it off." And he allowed me to do so. Camp Joy began for children, 1946. Still going today. Hundreds and thousands of them saved. Many are missionaries on mission field now to Camp Joy. Pastors in pulpits. I'm talking about letting God use your life. Let God get hold of you and say, "Lord, I want you to use my life for the glory of God." And just say in your heart tonight, "I surrender everything, dear Lord. I will listen to your word. He that hath ears, hear, let him hear. I want to hear the word of God. I want to respond. I want to obey the word of God. I want to do what God says in my life. Let your life be used of God. Let your life be used of God. What an amazing thing to win children to Christ. What an amazing thing to see these boys and girls coming who have accepted Christ. The others will be coming. And you're doing the job that needs to be done. I was 14 years of age, Louisville, Kentucky. My mother and dad never went inside of a church. Never. Somehow they never went to one of them. And a boy came by one Sunday morning named Claude Martin. Never can forget his name. He said, let's go to Sunday school. I said, I don't know anything about Sunday school. 14 years of age. Already a second year in Louisville High School. I'd never gone inside of a church. And he said, baby, no. I finally went with him. I went to the old church up on the highway out of Louisville and walked inside. We walked through the big old round building in the back, a classroom, about 14 or 15 boys there. And the teacher walked in named Mrs. Daisy Halls, H-A-W-E-S. Mrs. Halls. And she walked through the class, a lady teacher, teaching a bunch of boys. Around 13, 14 years old, all of them. And she said, how many of you boys are saved? I never heard a thing like that in my life. Saved? What was she talking about? They raised their hands. And I said, I want to hear that. And I listened. She told me how to be saved by the word of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. She told me how to be saved. I went home all troubled about the thing. I didn't know what it was all about. But I went back the next Sunday. Next Sunday she spoke again. And as she spoke, I received Christ in my heart as Savior. I said, today I receive him now. She had read John 1:12 and other verses and then told me how to be saved. I put my faith in Christ and received him as my Savior. Amen. My dear friend, at that age of 14, with Christ in my heart, was the beginning of my life. I've had an exciting life. I've enjoyed every bit of it. I thank God for all of the years. But I got saved, and I went forward in church that Sunday morning. Never been to church before in my life. I went in church. I walked down the aisle, a big old round country church down the front. I said, Pastor, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. He had sat down there in the front row. I sat down. He took his Bible, began dealing with me. And as he dealt with me, down the aisle on the other side came two people. And when I looked up, it was my mother and father. They had never been there before in their lives. But they watched me go for two Sunday mornings and said, we better go and check up on him, see what he's doing. So they came to church and they sat there. And when I heard them, and when I came forward, God spoke to their hearts. They came and mother and dad were saved, born again that day. The three of us saved on that one Sunday coming forward, and together the three of us were baptized, the same baptismal service. And what am I pointing out? I'm pointing out this matter of Christ and the reality of knowing the Son of God. If you're saved, rejoice in what you have and tell others about it. If you're not saved, get saved tonight. Amen. Get saved tonight. And say tonight, I want Christ as my Savior. Let God speak to your heart. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Are you listening? Had God spoken to you about your life, about your soul, about your need? Would you say, yes, Lord, I'm ready, God. I want you to have your way with me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Brother Pastor, if you'll come.